Brady and Belichick have been at the forefront of the credit in New England for the last 20 years.
OTB's American Football Show. The Snap on OTB Sports Radio.
Burrow very much throwing the deep end. He seems to have the correct temperament. I've never been totally won over by his actual talent, to be honest.
Keep updated with American football on OTB. Tune into The Snap every Friday on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
And let's get to the big story of the weekend, and that is a irresistible performance from the Dubs. Kieran Donnelly, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning. How are you, Ger?
Yeah, good. It's Dublin's world and the rest of us just living it.
That's for sure. That's for sure. When you win six in a row, it's pretty humbling for everybody else to be watching on. But, you know, look, there's not much that hasn't been said about them, Ger. They're a serious squad and outfit, and you know, ahead of most others when it comes to the thinking part of the game, and then as well the obvious attributes of the physicality, the power, the strength, the speed, the squad, the backroom setup, sponsorship, etc. They're ahead of everybody and most areas.
Let's talk about the game before we get into all the other stuff. How well did Mayo do?
They did a lot well, Ger. They did, you know, I think it's a good question. If you think of how they kind of started the game, it was nightmaric stuff. The parting of the Red Sea, as Dublin do from the set play, from the throw-in, creating that space in the middle is something that is, you know, they've done a lot now. And teams need to wise up to what's dangerous on a football pitch, and that's the ball. Last year we saw Kerry marking guys running out towards the sideline to clear space, and fellas going with them. We the same. You see, and it's understandable in a way, but just this is where the thinking part of the game has to come in. When you're told before a game, Ger, like it's an All-Ireland final, you're marking Conor Callaghan, you're marking Kieran Kilkenny, you know, you need to be tight early, you need to do this, you need to do that. You need to watch where the ball is the most important thing, and you need to play for your team and take your own side of it out. And if you're marking any defending in any game that I know of, you see the man, you see the ball. And you know, this Dublin team now is running down the middle of teams, and it's fine when they do it from normal play and they just overpower you. But a lot of this can be stopped early if teams realise what's happening and do what Dublin do and scramble to the zone, the scoring zone. We talked about it last week, about how quickly they get to the scoring danger area if they're breached. And yeah, they went down the middle and got that early goal after 13 seconds. And in fairness to Mayo and to the youngsters and you know, right after that, Aidan O'Shea goes out after getting beaten and the goal goes out and has a massive catch in the middle of the field and dinks it over, and we end up with Oisin Mullinhan passing it over to Barr. He jogs back out, hops off Conn once or twice on the way out, wins a huge 50-50 kick out between the two of them, and sets up Mayo again for another score. And all of a sudden, a lovely ball in, and Killian O'Connor maybe could have forced the agenda with goal, even though a point was everything in where they were at that stage of the game. And you know, they did remarkably well to get back into it, and they were level by the 30th minute. And you know, with Dublin then again, just you know, they do this, Ger, when you threaten them or when you get close to them, their key guys and their key players really step up. And even right before the break for halftime, you know, Kilkenny got a massive point where, you know, he goes out and wins a hard ball off a beautiful play from Scully on the outside of the right boot in over the top of everybody. When they counter it at speed and they've got ball winners like Kilkenny and Conn inside, they can do that. And he took him on. I took Mullen on in along the in line, and Mullen was outstanding the last day. Took him on in along the in line, recycled back out, and then took two of them on again, and banged over a point, and a real score of intent, I would call it, Ger. And you know, before the break, you know, they rattled him big time.
How naive was I to think that this was actually going to be something that would go right down to the line? Like, were you thinking that as well? That, like, when, as you mentioned there, that things were nip and tuck, at least in that middle third of the first half, that this was going to go all the way down to the wire? Or did you see signs at that point that it was like, no, Dublin are going to get to a position here soon enough where they will be able to pull away?
Yeah, well, we kind of flagged it during the preview about, you know, the benches, and it was only when you were there, when we were going through it at the start, and we found out that Michael Darren McCauley was in, and we started kind of going through the benches, and you know Fionn McDonagh was out injured, they were missing one or two more, and you just look at Dublin's bench, it's just, you know, it's a scary part of it. So, you know, definitely you were kind of, we were all hoping that one, that we get a close enough game, and look, we got it for as long as probably we were going to get it for 55 minutes, because when you're bringing on, you know, Howard, Mannion, Baskell, Cormac Costlow, McMahon, you know, and Mayo are bringing on guys that are unproven and really have been good players in this early part of their careers, but are unproven at All-Ireland final level to go win you a game. James Carr didn't do anything, didn't play much all year, was struggling with injury. Michael Plunkett, for me, was the one that, you know, James Horne did a tremendous job and got so much right and was brave, and you have to commend him for that. But I think this morning and yesterday morning, he'd probably be looking back at the Michael Plunkett switch, and how that next 10 minutes went after half time.
What should they have done?
For my part, when you're 2 points down, and this Dublin team, like, you're not going to beat this Dublin team really going, trying to go hoping that you're going to go into the 70th and 75th minute. You know, we've done that with Kerry. Mayo have done that before. You know, Mayo have, or Dublin have that experience to see games out, I would say, tight games. They've been really good at that since they got that one in 2011. It's a hallmark they have. They go into a really calm place at that stage of the game. They know exactly what they're about. They know exactly what they're trying to work. And I would have tried to be really aggressive, put on another forward, make Dublin drop one of their guys back on that forward, and create kind of nearly plus two out the middle of the pitch. I would have put, you know, Aidan O'Shane at full forward and try to go long and direct and play your extra man in around him, and go for it, because, you know, let's face it. I was talking to our producer with Sky here on O'Hara, and he was kind of saying, you know, may only goals stay in the, you know, I think they might look for them. And his score prediction had them getting three. And when they didn't get a sniff of a goal chance all day in the first half in particular, you would have said maybe that a more aggressive line and a more maybe trying to win an All-Ireland and trying to do something to really upset them at the start of that second half. Because we know that they are the best at reformulating at halftime. They get their big screen in the dressing room, and they're getting their clips up, and they're getting to see what mistakes are made, and they talk about how to rectify them and ensure they don't happen again. They would have been feeling comfortable 2 points up, and they would have said, look, listen, if we can get there, and they had their own plan of playing this, and, you know, this is where their scenario training, I'd say, is serious, where they plan for kind of a lot of eventualities. Like, you know, we talked to the one about last year, that wasn't a fluke. That was talked about, at least how much it was worked on. But they definitely talked about being a man down, chasing the game, what you have to do. You have to get your keeper out. You have to push up guys up the pitch. And they talked about this too, that if they're a man down at a crucial part of the game, how are they going to see it out? And when Michael Plunkett went in and sat as a sweeper for the throw-in, I turned to Jim McGuinness and you know, I was instantly worried about what I was looking at, because Dublin aren't the junior B team. They're not going to kick the ball down your sweeper's throat. They're not going to really force the issue when they're down a man and they're leading the game. So you kind of have to know what they're thinking as well. But, you know, they played it so much on their terms in that first 10 minutes of the second half. Mayo never got energy. They never got goal chances. They never got anything. They chased the ball like shadows, and you know, that's where they needed the extra man up in the forwards to either take Cluxton on, go up in Cluxton, so it was man to man, and be as brave as you were in the first half and go toe to toe. And if you get a turnover with an extra forward up there, you can then maybe look to pounce and try and get a goal and kill the ball and put a full press on Cluxton's kickouts like you were so successful at in the first half, and keep doing that and keep doing that and seeing could you get a bit of a run in that 10 minutes where could you get a goal in 2 points? Could you get a goal in 3 points? Could you be a few points up when McDade comes back on to see, you know, can you hold on from there?
Were they spooked by last year's semi-final when that period after the start of the second half killed them? And maybe by what happened in last year's All-Ireland final replay when Merchant scores the goal from the throw-in, that actually that's what the sweeper was there for the first couple of minutes, and then they just forgot to push forward. I don't know. Is it like,
I could see James, in fairness. I could see James, and it's a great point, Ger. I could see James, after when it was very evident dawning on us looking in, you know, and I'm sure the same as a very sharp coach like he was. He was looking and going, okay, this isn't working. And you could see him starting to drag him out. But I guess where I'd have the fault is dragging him out at that stage is okay, but it's more an overall team thing on why he's coming out and what are we trying to do. And look, you know, you have to give these guys breaks with the year we had with COVID, with the amount of time they had with their guys on a tactical side of thing. But you could see him pulling him out. But what was he doing when he came out? Who was he picking up? And what was he going to do if he got on a ball? Was he going to be dangerous? Was he going to be dynamic? No, he's, you know, Higgins for me would have been a better guy who's a danger, who's experienced, who's quick, still quick, who can take guys on, who's also defensive minded. I think he would have been possibly a better fit to go in and push up on the ball and use his defending 90 or 100 yards further up the pitch and see could you get turnovers up there, quick transition, maybe a goal. And that was for me huge, but I could see what James was trying to do. He was trying to get him out, but it was kind of too late. And when he came further up the field, he was looking around. He didn't really know what to do. Am I going ball hunting? Are we trying to double the ball? Are we trying to push people down the sideline? Can I be the plus one down the sideline? Do I take the keeper out of it? So there was probably just a few anomalies that I would say that they failed to get in that 10 minutes. And when Dublin, you know, we're a point up at the first water break there. Mayo came out, Killian O'Connor got the free to put them level, and after that it was foot in the throat stuff.
Yeah, that's the incredible thing. And like when you look at that bench that was run by Dublin at this point, Kieran, I mean, like there could have been a lot of revisionism had Mayo actually gone on and won this thing about why on earth do you have someone like Brian Howard on the bench. Do you think his impact just simply wouldn't have been as good as if he started those games? Because clearly, regardless of the depth that Dublin have, surely his qualities are good enough to start in any 15, in any era.
That's, yeah, Owen, you're spot on, but there's a caveat to that, and that's what makes this Dublin team so great, is because they're able to do that, and they're able to guy like Howard, who was carrying a bit of a knock for most of the year, and Mannion, that when this Dublin team is functioning and putting up big scores and guys are putting in good, flawless, unselfish team performances, it's hard to get back into the team barring injury. You know, you're not playing anybody of significance or they're steamrolling through Leinster. So if you're a guy trying to get your spot back, and you're in a short season and you don't have many inside in-house games to prove that you're better than the guy on, or like, it's fine to say, of course, he is better and he should be on, and those fellas would start on every team and probably should be starting on the Dublin team. But that's the beauty of the lucky and the privileged position that Dublin are in right now, is they can say to guys who are, everybody knows who should be on and they should be better. Every one of those Dublin guys from 1 to 35 is on their toes, because they know if they get a chance at the blue jersey and they perform, and Robert McDade is your perfect example. You know, Jack McCaffrey, who spoke unbelievably well with Bernard Brogan a few weeks ago and is a class act on your show, lads, and he was, you know, him stepping away, you were kind of going, okay, and next thing Robbie McDade comes in, and is really solid, does his job, plays for the team, makes all the right decisions, is in the right spots defensively when he needs to be, gets forward when he needs to be, is unselfish up there, makes the right decisions, he's not going to drop his jersey on, you know, unless he gets a knock. So that's the beauty of where they're at, and that sums up why they're going for six in a row when you've got the likes of Howard and Mannion. And Dublin have had this for years with Brogan and Flynn and McCauley and these guys on the bench. Philly McMahon started a few finals on the bench, but coming on knowing that you're going to get the right amount out of them and what you need out of them. So it's you know, that's why they're as good as they are on.
The Fitzsimons challenge, the general sense that Mayo had that the referee favoured Dublin over them, is that wrong? Like, because Killian O'Connor could have been booked in the first half for a challenge as well. Did they even themselves out, or is actually at the key moment a big decision badly missed?
I don't think it's the day where, you know, you can talk about decisions. It wasn't as bad as the one on Declan O'Sullivan in 2011 that Ger Brennan executed. It wasn't as bad as the Crowley one in 16, and that was in the last minute with you know, a possible free putting you a pint head with a minute to go, or a minute into injury time. It was a hard hit, and it was unfair, and it should have been a free, and in my eyes, a yellow card, because there was no. Yes, it was slightly dangerous, but I don't think there was any malice in Fitzsimons. I think he was going to try and execute what every fullback and whatever decent defender should be trying to do there, is absolutely lay him out with a shoulder and a signal of intent for your team and your defenders, the ball to spill up in the air and somebody to grab it. And if there was 80,000 in there, they would have lost their mind. But psychologically for the players, it would have been a huge thing. I don't think it's a day that we can talk about decisions affecting this game. It's what Dublin did from the 50th minute on would be more of where this game was sealed.
It's kind of outrageous when you look at the medal tally now, Kieran, the lads with 8 All-Ireland medals, and there were previous tallies that nobody thought would be surpassed. The Kerry lads are there now on 8 All-Ireland medals with. Like, you would have thought that with every passing year and with every one of those medals that clocks up, there might have been a lessening in standards, or that there would have been new blood required in more areas than there has been. And those lads from your Cluxons to your James McCarthy's, it almost seems as if they are the ones still driving this and still the ones more hungry than ever to get their hands on an All-Ireland medal year after year after year. And that is probably one of the biggest contributing factors to why it looks very unlikely that they will be stopped in the near future.
It's some era of players for them from the start of this decade to this year. It's the turnover has been unbelievable when you consider the Flynns and the Brogans and the Alan Brogans and the guys that have already departed away from it. And then you've got the guys that have 8 All-Ireland medals, which is, you know, unbelievable. And those guys yesterday when the game was on the line were huge. I think McCarthy's switch to wing back on Kevin McLaughlin was massive. You had a real size mismatch there around competing for breaks, balls in the air. John Small is a wrecking ball at 6 and is so crafty in everything he does. He'll nail you with a shoulder when he can. He'll go down if you hop off of him in the wrong way to try and draw attention to it. He's got every trick in the book and kind of nearly what you'd want in your designated 6 that he's kind of. You know, he's right on the edge all the time, and his brain is on overdrive all the time on how to try and win the game for his team by any means necessary. You've won Merchant over at 7, and you bring Howard in along with Fenton in the middle of the field, and you stranglehold the game. And for me, you know, my footballer of the year was Kilkenny. It was going into the game yesterday, and he didn't disappoint. And you know, in the second half of that game, once Mayo, again, when they drew level in that 50th minute, they just refused to say, we're going to have a close game here today. Kilkenny just went out and got balls and just shook his man off and planked it over the bar and no fuss, back out to 14, hands in the air again, pressing the kick out. And his 3 points in the second half were huge plays, along with Howard's beauty in the outside of the right, Mannion coming in off the bench and hitting the screamer from the left. And Dublin didn't score in the last 14 or 15 minutes, you know what I mean? So this, this wasn't flawless by Dublin in any means. I would say to a man, most of them would say they were solid, they were good, but there's more in them. And that's the scary one. But, you know, the guys that have got their medals, you know, Cluxton, McMahon, James McCarthy, Keane O'Sullivan, Kevin McManaman and Michael Darren McCauley. And I met a few of them in the Crow Park Hotel afterwards. Keane O'Sullivan and Michael Darrow and Paddy Andrews were there. And, you know, those guys, there's an overall sense to what they're doing. And there's an overall picture that they're really minding the jersey now for the next guy that comes along. They do all the training. If you're going for their position, and they look outside that and they say, okay, how can I help this guy to be better for Dublin so we can continue this dominance? Even reading Brogan's book was a big part when he was the leadership he showed in his last year, where he wasn't getting in the squad and he wasn't getting in the squad, and he's down showing Mannion moves and he's showing, you know, certain moves, how to get free from your guy. And you know, you look around a lot of teams and in many sports, and do you have the best guys supporting the newcomers and guys that are starting out their journey? Do you have that in that squad? And you know, that's where Dublin are at, and that's a huge advantage to have when you have total unselfishness within a squad, and that, you know, that the bigger picture is always the main one. And
a lot of
these guys,
a lot of that's about to go, right? The players of the players who won the eight, who have the eight All-Ireland medals, you can see a lot of them stepping away this year, like having reached that milestone. Some of them won't, but if they weren't getting game time. Paddy Andrews, I think, was tweeting about, I'm asking the lads, will I go back for one last year? That was his caption on his tweet. And you don't know. I mean, they all have external lives to playing football for Dublin as well. So if that goes, right, is that quickly replaceable, or is that actually the intangibles that make this special, where you do have Bernard Brogan actually actively helping the players who are replacing him in the squad at the last moment, even though it's breaking his heart to do it?
Yeah. I think it's a great question. I think you have in that. I think look, this all starts with one man in my eyes, and it has been since you know, he was on a team that lost six or seven finals in a row. And the guy, once he tasted success, Stephen Cluxton, I can see him in that dressing room. I was with him on a rules tour. He is not letting standards slip. He's doing every little thing to keep guys on their toes. Nobody will cross him. And I think he's the key. I think when he goes, whenever he does, and to answer that side of the question, Ger, just six and a half months, these fellas can be in another All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to go for nine and you have eight, and you're all, you know, most of the guys, Keane O'Sullivan was struggling with a hamstring all year. McCauley can still do everything you need him to do in that Mayo midfield. If he gets a few league games and puts a bit of a run together, he's dynamic off the bench if that's what you want. He's as strong as a horse. He's unselfish. He'd want to do everything the team win again. And again, all these guys that I'm talking about all have this streak inside them that it's you know, it's win at all costs. And yes, we're good guys, and yes, we do everything right. But when we need to be nasty or need to do something, we can do that as well. So they're your perfect guy, and all the great leaders, the Roy Keanes and all that, they all had a bit of that. They could do a bit of everything. And when they needed to go somewhere to ensure that their team win, they would do that as well. This Dublin team have it. Those leaders have instilled this into this whole group, because if all eight of them go away, or if all six or seven of them go away, you're still left with monsters like, you know, Kilkenny, Howard, Scully, who's one of the smartest players in the country, as well as fittest and skill-wise, Brian Fenton, Dean Rock, Mannion, Merchant, Johnny Cooper. You know, the list goes on, and there's another crew then coming in on the back of that. So, you know, it's whatever they do, they've instilled it in the next group that come in after them, and that's what makes them so good, and that's what makes it look at when teams try and beat them, that you have to get so much right, and you have to hope that they don't absolutely nail every part of their game. And they didn't do that the weekend, Ger. They didn't nail every part. Dublin didn't nail every part of their game the weekend. But when they sniffed out goal chances, they knew when to go for them. And when they needed to see out the game and when they needed to be smart in that 10 minutes after halftime, they know exactly what's needed at every stage of the game. And that's where teams need to get to on a thinking side of the game, as well as fitness and as well as skills.
Yeah. Look, we're out of time. We will obviously have a long period where we get to talk about the nuances of the funding and the finances and the population and the split question and all that. But for now, we just wanted to talk about the game and the players, and we will come back to all that stuff as well. Is there anything else you want to, before we go here, just to wrap up?
Clock's still 100 games in Croke Park.
Not bad.
Serious stat. You know, a lot of fellas love to get to Croke Park a few times to play, but he's played there 100 times, first year with no goal conceded. That's what we, when we did in the tactics board last week, how good they are defensively, how quick they get to danger, how quick they get to the area. So this team is supremely athletic and is rightly, as you said as well, they're that side of it, Ger, they've all that nailed, the financial, the sponsorship, the making sure their players want for nothing, the making sure their players are in a great frame of mind, making sure their players can sit down and as a group after training and, you know, dissect something from the week before, because they all have to go 15 minutes from home. There's no guys driving back from Mayo to Dublin or driving from Killarney down to Drummond Pierce's, or, you know, they have time to sit there and meet and dissect stuff, and they're just a long way ahead. And teams have to try and find a way, whether it's through Zoom, whether defenders are meeting through Zoom, whether one guy is good on the laptop and is putting up clips, and that they're really, really focusing on what they need to do to become better and to become more cohesive and have an understanding level as these Dublin players have in the pitch. Because rightfully, as you say, all the advantages are there. But when it comes down to it, when it comes down to winning games, their understanding of what's needed, when it's needed, and that goes back to the rugby tackling incident after Dean Rock kicked the free to go ahead. The incident, as I mentioned last year with Cluxton, and the period this year after halftime, they know exactly what's needed at the right stage of the game, and the level of coaching that takes, and the level of study that takes, and challenging yourself up here. I always tell guys, I don't think we challenge GAA teams enough up here. I think we do a bit of tactics and a small bit inside in the room, and it's nearly, oh geez, don't bog them down. No, don't bog them down. And you know, I there's young kids in America that are doing a wide receiver, and they need to know 200 plays or 150 plays, and there's basketball boys that need to know 20 offenses and where they are at every stage of the game. And that's done through repetitiveness, it's done through meeting, through talking, through watching game tape back. And I think Dublin do all that better than anybody else as well.
Alright, look, we'll let you go. Good stuff. Thanks for being here.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.